Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to Freaky Fridays, part of the Podmoth Network, the podcast where we talk about all kinds of scary, spooky, freaky shit while drinking wine and laughing through our fears.
Yes.
We are your hosts.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm Melissa.
And tonight, I'm going to tell you all about the creepy story of the Watcher House in Westfield, New Jersey.
Is that why it says Watcher at the top?
Absolutely, yes. Nobody's watching you. Just the title of the Zencaster episode.
I've never noticed the title up there before. I can honestly say I've never noticed it before. And then when you were having issues getting in, I was like, oh my God, now it says Watcher. Is someone watching me?
Somebody's Zencaster bombing us?
Whoa. Yeah, I was extremely nervous about that.
We're definitely drinking wine tonight because... Well, after all these technical issues, but also the trailer is official, so we're celebrating.
Cheers. Cheers to that.
Woot, woot.
Salute. Cheers. Skull.
Cilantro.
So,
let me tell you about this Watcher House, and I hope it's not too long, but I had so much information. I wanted to tell you all about it. Originally, I was going to do the Jersey Devil, which is... more comical than Krampus. It's like a kangaroo-headed, winged, hooved thing that lives in New Jersey. And it's all mythological. And I still want to go over it, but
When
you said you hadn't heard about the Watcher House,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I have to tell you about this because it's a little bit more freaky.
Absolutely.
Because it's real.
Yes. Okay, so, I'm dying to know.
Once upon a time, There was the Brodus family, a husband, Derek, his wife, Maria, and three small chitlins, ages five, Michael Jackson, ages 5, 8, and 10 years old. In 2014, they bought their dream home at 657 Boulevard in Westfield, New Jersey. The wife, Maria, had grown up in the area and loved it. The home itself was built in 1905, and the sale price was $1.35 million.
Wow.
That was in 2014.
Wow.
For the 3,800 square foot Dutch colonial style, amazing property on a half acre of land. And I'm actually going to send you a picture right now because, you know, we talk like the Amityville house that looks kind of ominous.
Mm-hmm.
This house is beautiful, super cute. The neighborhood is better than Leave It to Beaver. It's big, unique houses, tree-lined streets, and it's only 28 miles from Manhattan.
So it's very unsuspecting.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Right?
I mean, it looks like your white picket fence type house where the average family is going to live.
Yes. Yes. And it's a very affluent neighborhood. This is like one of the hot spots to live in New Jersey, Westfield.
It's really nice.
Yeah. So the family closed on the house and immediately they started doing some renovations inside before fully moving in. The father, Derek, was at the house doing a bit of remodel work and decided to check the mail, even though I think they had only had ownership of the house for like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
With the other mail was a simple white envelope addressed to the new owner. Inside was a handwritten letter that said,
"Dearest new neighbor at 657 Boulevard, allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood."
There was no pie with it? No pie or fruit basket?
I know, right? Oh no, you just wait.
"How did you end up here? Did 657 Boulevard call you with its force within?"
Say what?
"657 Boulevard has been a subject of my family for decades now, and it approaches its 110th birthday. I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming." "My grandfather watched the house in 1920s, and my father watched in the 1960s, and now it's my turn."
That's fucking creepy.
"Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within its walls? Why are you here? I will find out." "You have children. I have seen them. So far, I think there are three that I have counted."
Oh, hell no.
"Are there more on the way? Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested? Better for me. Was your old house too small for your growing family? Or was it greed to bring me your children? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them to me. I ask the woods to bring me young blood.
The letter also identifies the Brodus's Honda minivan, as well as workers renovating the home. So obviously they had been around the house.
I would have been out of that fucking house.
And it continues.
I see already that you have flooded 657 Boulevard with contractors so that you can destroy the house as it was supposed to be. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Bad move. You don't want to make 657 Boulevard unhappy.
That is so creepy.
Who am I?
The person wrote.
There are hundreds and hundreds of cars that drive by 657 Boulevard each day. Maybe I am one. Look at all the windows you can see from 657 Boulevard. Maybe I am in one. Look out any of the many windows in 657 Boulevard at all the people who stroll by. Maybe I am one.
Oh, hell no.
The letter concluded with a suggestion that the message would not be the last.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome. Let the party begin.
Oh my God, this feels like they're taunting them, and it
it was just signed.
The Watcher.
And this family stayed after this first letter?
Do you want me to end the podcast here?
Oh, sorry. No. Just kidding. I don't want you to.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh my God.
So okay. I want to note all of these excerpts that I'm reading, I'm kind of bundling into one because there is no copy of the letter in its entirety.
Oh, wow.
It's all these clips that people have found throughout the years. And due to the timeline, I lumped all of that together.
So I wonder, does that
mean... I want anybody coming for me.
Do you think that means then that when that family received that first letter that maybe they just didn't report it? And that's why there's no like one whole letter of evidence?
This isn't giving anything away, but it sounds like basically they really didn't want to share this with anybody.
Got it.
And they didn't want it public, even though it got public.
Mm-hmm.
So when Derek received this letter and read it, he freaked out, as I think anybody would, ran back in the house, turning off all the lights, and he called the Westfield police. After talking to the cops and showing them the letter, Derek rushed back to the rest of the family who was still living at their old home. And the home was already sold because they were closed on this new home, so they had to eventually get out of it.
Yeah.
So he and his wife emailed the prior owners of the house of 657 Boulevard, asked if they ever received any letters and who this watcher may be.
Scary.
The prior owner, Andrea Woods, replied the next day saying a few days before moving out, they had received an odd note that kind of made similar mention of the family observing the house over time. But she said that was the only thing they had received in the 23 years of owning the home. They didn't think much about it, and they tossed the letter out.
Wow.
So no proof of that.
Wow.
The Woods actually ended up going with Maria Brodus, the wife, to the police, and the detective told her not to tell anyone about the letters, including their new neighbors, who were now suspects. Mm-hmm. So they're already keeping it all secret.
Okay.
The Broduses continued to go to the home at 657 Boulevard, being very anxious and on high alert. They started wondering if the watcher was one of their neighbors, someone who lost out on a bid to purchase the house, someone pissed. Mm-hmm. There were contractor trucks, noise, and kids now in the quiet area. Mm-hmm. Like, they just had no friggin' idea.
Yeah.
They went to a neighbor's barbecue across the street and spent the whole time scanning the party for clues and yelling wordly at their kids to stay close. Through conversations at the party, they learned who their immediate next door neighbor was, the Langfords. Peggy Langford, who was in her 90s, and several of her adult children, all in their 60s, lived with her.
Wow.
The neighbor told Derek that the family was a bit odd, but harmless. He described one of the younger Langfords, Michael, who didn't work and had a beard like Ernest Hemingway, as kind of a Boo Radley character. Derek thought for sure, Michael Langford, it's him. He was sending these letters. And recently their father had died and their family had lived there since the 60s. So it kind of went along with the letter.
Yeah.
Detectives brought Michael in for questioning, who denied knowing anything about the letter. And due to lack of hard evidence, there was nothing the police could do. A little bit of time goes by and they receive another letter.
Oh, God.
Mr. and Mrs. Brodus, Welcome again to your new home at 657 Boulevard. The workers have been busy and I have been watching you unload carfuls of your personal belongings. The dumpster is a nice touch. Have they found what is in the walls yet?
Oh, God.
In time, they will.
The letter identified the Brodus's three kids by birth order and by their nicknames.
Holy fuck.
I am pleased to know your names now and the name of the young blood you have brought me. You certainly say their names often.
Oh.
I just got chills and I know this story.
Mary!
The letter asked about one child in particular who the writer had seen using an easel inside the enclosed porch.
Is she an artist in the family? 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house.
Mm-mm. I hate that word, young blood. It just sounds disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found all of the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement, or are they too afraid to go down there?
Oh, yeah.
I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream.
Oh, God.
Fucking says me, that.
Like, creeping me out.
Will they sleep in the attic, or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has bedrooms facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in.
Oh my God.
It will help me know who's in which bedroom. Then I can plan better.
Oh, fuck.
All of the windows and doors in 657 Boulevard allow me to watch you and track you as you move through the house. Who am I? I am the Watcher, and have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. The Woods family turned it over to you. It was their time to move on and kindly sold it when I asked them to. I pass by many times a day. 657 Boulevard is my job, my life, my obsession. And now you are too, Brodus family. Welcome to the product of your greed. Greed is what brought the past three families to 657 Boulevard, and now it has brought you to me. Are you one of those Hoboken transplants who are ruining Westfield?
And then it starts talking about the renovations that were being made inside.
The house is crying from all the pain it is going through. You have changed it and made it so fancy. You are stealing its history. It cries for the past and what used to be in the time when I roamed its halls. The 1960s were a good time for 657 Boulevard when I ran from room to room imagining the life with its rich occupants there. The house was full of life and young blood. Then it got old and so did my father, but he kept watching until the day he died. And now I watch and wait for the day when the young blood will be mine again. Have a happy moving day. You know I will be watching.
I'm pretty speechless because
it's gross.
It's fucking eerie. This is fucking scaring me. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. So one thing to note in the letter, it mentioned the easel that the daughter was painting on, asking if she was an artist.
Mm-hmm.
The easel is actually located in the back of the house on the porch, hidden from the street, not on the main street, which is obstructed by trees. So it's only visible if you are in the backyard or maybe right next door.
Oh my God.
So how the fuck did they see that? Now the Brotuses are starting to get pissed, probably because this person's mentioning their kids.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, these letters are threatening them and their daughters, and they know that the police are basically going to do nothing. So they started their own investigation, or more like obsession. Derek starts setting up webcams on the property and spent nights crouched in the dark waiting to see if anyone was around, anybody would walk by or stop in front of the house.
What a horrible feeling.
I know. And this is supposed to be your house. This is supposed to be your dream home that you just spent $1.3 million on.
Yeah, where you feel safe and...
And you want to raise your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
They even employed a private investigator who stalked out the neighborhood and ran background checks on the Langfords, but nothing ended up coming of it. Derek reached out to a former FBI agent who served as the inspiration for Clarice Starling in Silence of the Lambs.
Hello, Clarice.
Clarice. Fava beans. It's nice to know people, I guess. He ends up knowing this person because they were on a high school board of trustees together. They also hired Robert Lenahan, another former FBI agent, to conduct a threat assessment. Lenahan recognized several old-fashioned ticks in the letter that pointed to an older writer, like an older person writing
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
The envelope was addressed to M/M Brodus, which I guess
Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah, I guess back in the day, that's how you used to salute somebody. The sentences also had double spaces between them, which they haven't done for quite some time. The letters had a certain literary panache, which suggested a voracious reader. I don't know how you could tell that, but a surprising lack of profanity given the level of anger, which Lenihan thought meant a less macho writer. Keep that in mind. Still convinced it was Michael Langford sending the letters, Derek sent a letter to the Langford house announcing plans to tear down the house, hoping to prompt a response, but nothing happened. The police brought Michael Langford in for a second interview, but still nothing. The Brodesses ended up hiring a lawyer. Derek and Maria were having nightmares about dealing with the Watcher and the Langfords. Maria became skeptical of anyone out while shopping and started Googling anybody that seemed suspicious.
That's a shitty way to live.
Yeah. Nothing came about from any of these suspicions, which is even shittier. By the end of the year, there was nothing more they could do with no fingerprints or way to track the letter. In a last-ditch effort, Derek showed the letters to his priest, who agreed to bless the house.
This house is clean.
It's very like Amityville vibes, right? It seems the letters kept coming.
657 Boulevard is turning on me. It is coming after me. I don't understand why. What spell did you cast on it? It used to be my friend, and now it is my enemy. I am in charge of 657 Boulevard. It is not in charge of me. I will fend off its bad things and wait for it to become good again. It will not punish me. I will rise again. I will be patient and wait for this to pass and for you to bring the young blood back to me. 657 Boulevard needs young blood. It needs you. Come back. Let the young blood play again like it once did. Let the young blood sleep in 657 Boulevard. Stop changing it and let it alone.
And at this time, mind you, the Brodesses still had not actually fully moved in to the house. They were too scared and anxious to move in.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah. Derek started pricing out trained dogs for safety and even posted a job on a website for military veterans saying, all you have to do is work out in the backyard every day.
Work out in the backyard.
I think it, not work out, like pump iron, but yeah. But they really didn't want to live this way.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Since their old home was sold, they had to move out and they ended up moving in with Maria's parents while continuing to pay mortgage and property taxes on 657 Boulevard. They only told a handful of friends and family about the letters, and when others asked why they weren't moving in to their dream home, they just said legal issues. They were fighting constantly and had to take sleeping pills. Maria started seeing a therapist who said she was suffering from PTSD. Just 6 months later, the Brodesses decided to sell 657 Boulevard.
Good.
They listed it for more than they paid, seeing as they did renovations. But unfortunately, rumors started of why the house sat empty for so long and was back up for sale. Even after lowering the price a few times, they still had no buyers.
Wow.
The Brodess family ended up filing a legal complaint against the former owners, the Woods. They argued that the Woods should have disclosed the letter that they had gotten, and they hoped to reach a quiet settlement. I don't know if at this point, and I think I read somewhere that Derek was a lawyer, but I don't know if at this point they're just like grasping at straws, like, what the fuck can I do to get out of this situation with some sort of relief in some way? And that now they're just getting frustrated. A local reporter had found the complaint to the Woods that included snippets of the Watcher's threatening letters. And that's how most people got all of these excerpts. The Brodesses attempted to seal it, but the story went viral. News trucks started camping out. One reporter set up a lawn chair to conduct his own watch, and they got more than 300 media requests.
Wow.
The Brodesses decided to not speak publicly to spare their kids.
So did their kids, and you may have said this and I didn't hear you, but their kids didn't know what was going on, correct?
Correct. At this point, their kids knew nothing.
Okay, which is smart.
They did not tell their kids at this point.
Well, plus it would just scare the shit out of them.
Yeah. After the story broke, everyone in the community was on edge. Neighbors were also furious that the cops stated that they did an exhaustive search. However, none of them had been interviewed in the past year. So how exhaustive is a search when none of the neighbors were interviewed?
Yeah.
The story was getting massive attention, and a veteran detective asked to look at the case, feeling the family didn't get the support they deserved. The detective, Baron Chambliss, discovered that investigators had conducted a DNA analysis on one of the envelopes and determined it to be female DNA. Chambliss finagled DNA from the Langford daughter, Abby, but it was not a match. Now that I've read everything, I still haven't heard anything about the DNA possibly matching the 90-year-old
mother, mom. Yeah.
And they said that this was supposedly like an older person writing with the Mr. and Mrs. salutations and stuff like that. But also it could have been some guy and was just like, mom, lick this envelope.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Abby, one of the Langford daughters. Still frustrated, the Brodesses would walk the boulevard asking people to compare writing from Christmas cards to the writing in the letter, the handwriting in the letters.
Wow.
Nothing. They also hired a company to look for handwriting matches.
Wow.
Nothing. Lastly, Derek persuaded a techie friend to get him in contact with a hacker to break into Wi-Fis in the neighborhood to see to look for incriminating documents. That's illegal, so they didn't do it. But this is like how like far
I don't blame
him.
I would be too.
Super desperate. Yeah. I mean, you got to think of everything, right? The neighborhood started doing their own quote-unquote research and came to a consensus. Maybe the Brodesses had sent the letters to themselves. Was it a con? Were the Brodesses in over their heads and needed a way out? Despite all the drama and town gossip, the Brodess family did not want to leave Westfield, and they ended up borrowing money from family members to buy another home in Westfield. I mean, I'm sorry. What town do you love that much that you would stay where all these people are like against you? You're suspicious of everybody. Like, why would you want to do that?
Yeah, no thanks. I'd be as far away from there as I could.
Or at least one town away.
Yeah.
A judge ended up dismissing their lawsuit against the Woods family, and the Brodesses put 657 Boulevard back on the market in 2016. Unfortunately, each time a buyer expressed interest and met with the Brodesses' lawyer to read the letters, they backed out. So the Brodesses didn't want to be like they claimed the Woods did and hide this information. So they were very forthcoming with anybody interested in buying and said, these are the letters we're getting. And then they were like, peace, I don't want your house.
Yeah, no thank you.
The Brodess real estate lawyer suggested selling the house to a developer who could tear it down and split the property into two homes. They could probably get $1 million for the lot alone. Well, this proposal was publicly announced on Westfield's Facebook group, and it turned into a shit show, as most social media does.
Yeah.
The planning board then met in January 2017 to decide on approving or denying the application to sell and split the property. More than 100 residents neighboring 657 Boulevard showed up in protest, and 4 hours later, the board unanimously rejected the proposal.
Wow.
Poor bastards, I tell you. Derek and Maria Brodess were even more distressed and at a complete loss, not only emotionally, but they had continued to pay the mortgage, property taxes, and continued upkeep of the property for 2 years while never even living in it.
Wow. Oh, that sucks.
I know, right? Luckily, a family came along and agreed to rent out 657 Boulevard. The Brodesses attached a clause in their contract or their lease. If the renter received any letters from the watcher, they were free to break the lease.
Oh,
guess
my
what?
God, they received letters.
2 weeks later, a letter arrived.
Oh, shit.
And this one's getting a little angry. A little mad.
A little mad. A little pissed off. Claws are coming out.
Yeah, yes. So the letter read,
violent winds and bitter cold. To the vile and spiteful Derek and his wench of a wife, Maria. You wonder who the watcher is? Turn around, idiots. Maybe you even spoke to me, one of the so-called neighbors who has no idea who the watcher could be. Or maybe you do know and you're too scared to tell anyone. Good move. I walked by the news trucks when they took over my neighborhood and mocked me. I watched as you watched from the dark house in attempt to find me. Telescopes and binoculars are wonderful inventions. 657 Boulevard survived your attempted assaults and stood strong with its army of supporters barricading its gates. My soldiers of the Boulevard followed my orders to a T. They carried out their mission and saved the soul of 657 Boulevard with my orders. All hail the Watcher.
Oh my god. This person's fucking nutty.
Get a life, dude.
What?
I know. In the letter, the renter was mentioned, and he was spooked, but agreed to stay if the Brodesses installed cameras around the house.
That's not going to help
That's
you.
All it took. I know. The letter even indicated revenge could come in many forms.
Maybe a car accident. Maybe a fire. Maybe something as simple as a mild illness that never seems to go away but makes you feel sick day after day after day after day.
God.
Maybe the mysterious death of a pet. Loved ones suddenly die. Planes and cars and bicycles crash. Bones break.
Holy fuck. This is too much.
Okay, getting a little too fucking far.
Get the hell out of that house.
Well, I mean, technically they're not living there.
No, but the renters.
Oh, right, right.
There's no way I'd stay in that. I wouldn't care how much of a extra deposit I had to pay. I my ass would be out of that house.
And the renter's like, eh, just put some cameras in. We'll be fine.
Cameras aren't going to save you, especially now that they're threatening loved ones that don't even live with you.
No shit. So Derek took this letter to the police, but still not much could be done. Time went on and the small town drama continued.
Man.
The board that denied their request to have a developer buy the property and split it into two homes, they actually approved somebody else to do that. And Maria was like, what the fuck? Recently in 2019, the property finally sold at $959,000, about a loss of $400,000 to the Brodesses.
Wow, that's crazy.
So after they bought the other home, they finally told the kids, the reason that we can't move into that nice big home on Boulevard is because we are getting these threatening letters and we don't know who it is, but somebody's quote unquote watching us. So basically these kids that are, what did I say, 5, 8, and 10 are basically like, so the boogeyman's real.
Oh, God, these poor kids.
I know.
What a nightmare, literally.
Yeah. The Brodesses were approached for making a movie or miniseries out of their story, and they continued to deny and not want to be have any part of this. There was a movie that was based on, quote unquote, that they like to say, which basically means you can take all the liberties you want. This movie came out in 2016. The Brodess family denies having any involvement in it. Instead of the Watcher, the stalker is called the Raven, and the movie trailer looks horrible.
And it was in 2016?
Yes. So there will be a miniseries, and I saw that it should be coming out in 2022. So this year.
With Naomi Watts?
Yes. So just a little interesting history. I heard from Strange Land on YouTube, and I don't know how to search public records, but a little history of the ownership of this house. Since 1905, it was built. In 1913, William Davies purchased the property for $1.
What?
He would later become Westfield's mayor. Davies sold the home in 1947 to his son and daughter-in-law for the price of $1. And they were family, so it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. Then the son then turned around and sold the home to Dillard and Mary Bird, no Ozark relation, in 1951 for $1. And there was no evidence that the Davies son was related to the Birds to keep with tradition. The Birds then sold the home to a family named the Blakes in 1953 for $1.
Wow.
Then they turned around and sold the home to the Schaefers in 1955 for $1. They remained in the home until 1990 for when the house was bought by the Woods, and there's no information on the price that the Woods paid for it.
Interesting.
So since then, the Woods owned it until the Brodesses bought it for $1.3 million.
So everyone else paid a dollar and these suckers paid $1.3 million?
Right? And I wanted to find this information and be like, is that just because they have no records? So they put a dollar in there? Like,
right, yeah.
I'm sure you can't do that. That's like records. So I couldn't find anything on it. If it's true, it's very interesting. But that is the story about the Watcher House in Westfield, New Jersey.
That's really scary. That's really like so many things going on in my mind about that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it. Because it's that's something that will linger with me. It will stick with me.
Yes. Oh, you're welcome.
It will haunt me tonight when I go to bed, wondering, is someone watching my house?
Well, at least you're not getting letters.
No, I'm not. But
well, you have cameras. You're watching them. If I was to receive just some handwritten letter and read any of those letters, that wasn't, here's a pie. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I would be like, pack it up.
Yeah, that's just insane to stay there. After the first letter, I'm sorry. No, there's no property, house, whatever, that's just so freaking appealing that I would, especially having kids and having a family, I would not keep them in a situation where this person sounds bonkers writing the letter. Mm-hmm. There's no telling what they're going to do. If they're going to do anything, I still, even if nothing came about it, those letters alone would just traumatize you.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing about those letters that I would be like, oh, this is fake, or, you know, like, I'm just going to blow it off.
Right. And they progressively got worse. So
they knew details.
Well, yeah, that too. And then you have to think, okay, now they're talking about bones breaking and people getting poisoned. Are they going to act on that? I can't let my kids play in the yard and then they find something in the grass, or.
Right. And think about this. Before you said it, and you said that they were watching the daughter on the easel, my mind instantly went to, oh, they were like using binoculars or like one of those long telescope things. What if it's someone who is like bound to like a wheelchair or something and is bored out of their fucking mind?
Alfred Hitchcock vertigo.
Yeah. And is like taunting people because they're bitter or bored or whatever the case may be. And that's how they're watching.
So this article that I got this from, it's called The Cut. It was super detailed, and we'd probably still be going through all the details if I read from the article, because it's really long. But one of the things that they said was that Maria would call out to her daughters in the backyard with their nicknames. So that's why they think that the watcher knew the nicknames. So could not have been somebody too far away. They had to have been able to hear that. And then if you Google Earth it, there's quite a big property of land. So, I mean, you have to be real quiet and listening, or supersonic hearing, or
unless they bugged the place.
Right. That was the other thing I was thinking, like, but if the guy's putting up cameras, wouldn't they have found bugs? Or maybe they just were that good. Maybe that was the thing in the walls that he said, have you found the thing in the walls? Like, there's so many unanswered questions. And there's so many things that I kind of took from the article, like, wait a minute. Like the thing with the lady. Like, how do you know it's not the mom?
Yeah.
You said it's an older person and the DNA is female. How do you know it's not the mom? Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of like the Zodiac, like minus the, you know, encrypted or not encrypted, but the what's the word? I just had it in my head. God dang it. The military Morse code, like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I think minus that, like, encrypted, right? Yeah. When it's like symbols and shit.
Is that encrypted? I always think of encrypted as language. I think that's hieroglyphics.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Like, minus that part of it, it reminds me a lot of that. Like, it's like kind of puzzling the way they write it. You have absolutely no clue, other than now we know it's female, possibly.
Possibly, right.
Again, could have been a male asking a female to lick an envelope. And just very, like, kind of cocky in the letters.
Very, yeah.
Right? Like, it just reminds me a lot of the Zodiac.
And be cocky like that, usually from what I've learned watching so much true crime, usually means that they've done something before. Like, they have, they've gotten away with something. So they feel that
power of, like, and they feel like they
that's what creeps me out too.
Yeah. Well, and if no cops have come knocking at their door yet, then they know.
And if the Westfield police they're not jumping at the chance to catch this person, maybe it's somebody internal. Conspiracy theories.
Maybe it is, like I said, maybe, and it doesn't necessarily need to be someone who's bound to their home, but maybe it is someone just fucking pulling this elaborate, like, prank.
Maybe they are a little off the rocker. And
maybe they don't ever intend to actually physically do anything, but they get their kicks from sending these creepy letters to people that move into that house.
And I was thinking, reading those letters, it sounds like somebody that used to live there.
Yeah.
So maybe go through the former owners that got it, like, for a dollar. Maybe they're pissed they didn't cash in on that $1.3 million.
Right? Or maybe they're pissed that, like, maybe that's a child who grew up in that home and it was pissed that they had to leave it for some reason. Like,
right. Yeah. Parents sold it and they had to leave. And
yeah, because they said when I used to run up and down the halls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, those are the kind of things that I'm like, wait, I don't think this is done. I think you guys still need to, even though it's not a crime, like nobody lost their life or got physically injured, attacked, it's still a mystery.
Yeah.
A semi-innocent mystery. Mm-hmm. But those poor fucking Brotuses, hopefully they're still together and have had therapy.
Mm-hmm. Very Amityville Horror and fucking creepy as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to, I'm just going to constantly think about these letters now. Mm-hmm. But I do want more. I need more.
Yeah, there's, I feel like there's more to be known.
There has to be. Well, you picked a good one.
Thank you, Michelle.
You picked a good one. You hit it out of the park with that one.
I'm glad you enjoyed.
I did. It's going to freak the fuck out of me for as long as I live. But did you guys finish Stranger Things?
We did.
We did too.
Frickin' loved it.
I loved this season.
I honestly think this is the best season. Half a season.
Yeah.
Since the first one.
I have to say, for me personally, this season gave me Nightmare on Elm Street vibes.
But not cheesy.
Not cheesy, no. Right. But the whole sleep
kind of
thing,
in the dreams, yeah.
The kind of eerie music that played in between when they kind of went into that dream space, the clock thing, like it just, and then freaking Robert Englund.
I know, right?
Appears in it. And I was like,
spoiler alert.
Holy fuck. Like, sorry.
No, I'm sure everybody's seen it by now.
He was pretty good, yeah. I have to say. But it just, the whole thing gave me total Nightmare on Elm Street vibes, and I loved every second of it.
I wonder if that's what their inspiration. I haven't read the, you know, kind of behind the scenes stuff, but I wonder if that was their inspiration and that's why they had him. But yeah,
maybe.
I thought it was great. I mean, the whole time I was just like, what's happening? That's Vecna. No, that's Vecna. No, he's Vecna.
Yeah,
it was a wild ride.
I do miss the kids being younger because they were cuter. They were cuter, obviously. I mean, they've all grown into like really cool adults, but when they were younger, it just felt funnier too to watch them.
Super cute.
Yeah.
And they nailed the 80s.
Oh my God. It just makes me so nostalgic for the 80s. Yeah. It makes me miss it so much. Like
Nick mentioned, like they didn't go overboard with like neon and all that, because that's not what we wore.
No, I feel like that was kind of later, or like late 80s, early 90s is when the neon kind of came in.
Probably, early 90s.
I feel like a little bit more like in the early 90s, but no, they don't go overboard on it. They don't do a lot of like, you know, you'll see product here and there, but I just loved it. And I love the season. And it makes me feel like this next season coming is going to be it.
Which is in July, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And supposedly what Kelsey told us is that she heard that the ones coming in July are going to be like 2 hours long.
Oh, wow.
Almost like movies.
So are they considering that season 5, or are they considering it part 2 of season 4?
I think part 2.
I mean, how much more can you do?
Right. That's what I'm saying. The kids are getting older.
You don't
want
to jump the shark and make it terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say, I think Dustin is still so funny. No matter what season, no matter how much older he gets, I love Dustin.
He's kept his comedy.
So yeah, his comedic timing, and him and Steve, their friendship.
Cute.
I just love it. I think it's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved this season. The first season was my favorite, and I really, really like this season.
Right.
Yeah.
Top shelf.
I do miss, and I'm sure when it comes back in July, I do miss when all the kids are together. Mm-hmm. Because I think they all have such good chemistry, and they're just such cute friends, and like, I think they just kind of mesh well together.
Yeah.
So I'm sure when this next half comes back, based off where it left off, I'm sure they'll all be together again. It's just weird though. It's weird for them to be talking about like relationship problems, and like, you know, it just,
it's like the things that actually, I mean, obviously they're dealing with alien monster or whatever, but they actually deal with some of the things that we dealt with back then. It was like right. relatable in that way.
Yeah. But I'm just not used to it with them because they were just so little, it seems like.
Right. Well, they've grown up with us.
I know. Well, and I was looking it up. Steve is 30 in real life.
Oh, geez.
Playing a 19-year-old.
Good Lord. And how happy is, who was it, Kate Bush?
For her song to come back again?
Seriously. Like, number one on iTunes, trending on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
I know.
Good
I know.
For her. It know. Only took so cool. 40 years.
Yeah. Because that song has been in other things I've watched, and it's just different versions.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a version of it in Vampire Diaries that I really like. It's a dude singing it. Mm. But yeah, I mean, hers, you know, obviously is the best version. It's just kind of cool that it came back again.
So do you have any idea of what you're going to do next week?
I don't. But I kind of like the idea of getting into the cult like you talked mm-hmm. about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after you watched
The Way Down.
The Way Down. Now are you like, I need to talk about cults. What if you find a cult in a state?
Like for our Scare America?
Yes.
I can do that.
So stay tuned next week when Melissa has a Scare America cult story for us.
Yes. That starts out in Hollywood, California and moves to Hawaii. And fun fact, my cousin lived a few houses down from
Oh, this shit.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk about that one.
I can't wait to hear it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Michelle, as we like to say,
mm-hmm.
sleep tight.
Make sure you keep the lights on.
Especially after that fucking story you gave.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Make sure you keep the lights on for the watcher.
Oh, fuck you.
Watcher.
Go to FreakyFridaysPodcast.com and subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast listening platform.
Join us next week for a new freaky tale.